Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
Look, we're not going to be in an Ohtani race. I'll tell you that right now. I'll give you.
Okay, I didn't know that was a laugh line, but I guess it is. Whew. Well, good
why,
job.
Why the heavy sigh, Dan?
Because I've been a lifelong White Sox fan.
Yeah, same.
And I also have dear friends that are a part of this organization. And there are longtime people within the organization who are suffering also. And it's not a great place to work. I feel bad for them. The truest statement in the entire piece written in The Athletic by Britt Garoli and Ken Rosenthal, and well-researched. And you saw all of the Kenny Williams quotes in there. But the truest is that Jerry Reinsdorf's greatest attribute as a boss is his worst as a baseball owner, and that's loyalty. And it's just, it's become so misplaced and so misguided and so calcified and cloistered and sclerotic that this is, and I've mentioned before, the White Sox are an end stage operation. It's over. Whatever it is over. It needs to be destroyed and rebuilt. And they've missed. It's an overgrown mansion on the hill, covered in weeds with odd disjointed annexes that have been put on it, and attics that are sticking out at weird angles.
And at some point, you need to demolish the building and build anew.
Yes,
and no, I get that. I thought for a moment when we heard about a man who's so fiercely loyal, as you described, Jerry Reinsdorf, making the decision to depart with Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn, for a moment, it was like the opposite of what we just talked about with the Bears. This man he understands what everyone else is seeing, and he's finally seeing it for himself. And then immediately thereafter, no, we're not looking outside. We know who our replacement is. It's internal. It's Chris Gatson. He's the guy who's been in charge of our minor league system, which has now been completely depleted, never built up in the way it should have been.
And had two separate scandals involving managers' behavior at two different levels of the organization. Let's not forget that.
And so you add all that up and you realize, oh, we're just right back where we started, which is not a fresh start, but more of the same. And then the season that follows is this season. And you're just like,
wait till next year.
What is going on? I have a little more, well, faith is the wrong word. I have a little bit of hope that next year with these, if these minor league pitchers can do more of what they've shown flashes of this season, then perhaps. But my scare is always with a pitcher that comes up and does well that doesn't have grade A stuff, like A++++ stuff. The league adjusts, right?
They're so far away from so many things mattering.
When you read the article, which I encourage people to do in The Athletic, as you mentioned, it's not just one thing. It's not just a few things. It is really a litany of examples of how things have gotten to where they are. And that, I think, is the most discouraging part about reading the article. Even if you felt like you knew, I promise you didn't know it all.
I knew a lot, and I've done my best as this whole thing has been sliding downhill, especially with the La Russa hire. Whether it's been news that I've broken or it's just been allowing you in a little bit as to what people are saying and what people are lamenting about this sort of twisted family business and about analytics. This article does the best job describing, not just in broad brush terms, about Jerry's distaste for analytics and his misplaced pining for a time in baseball that's long gone, but it would be sad if it wasn't hilarious.
Is it funny?
Okay. Tell me this isn't a Marx Brothers movie. I'm quoting now.
Oh, I know exactly where you're going with this.
Even when they tried to use analytics, the White Sox weren't sure how. For years, they used two sets of adjusted TrackMan data. One, like most teams, they received from a third party. Another was developed by their own analytics people. Sometimes the two sets of data would be dramatically different, making it difficult to evaluate players and write reports. In 2019, a debate about using spin rate versus adjusted spin rate caused internal strife. It was comical, said a former baseball operations employee of different departments using different sets of data. No one knew what was what. Seriously, it's like the contract scene in A Night at the Opera. The party of the first part, in this case, should be the party of the first part. And there's a sanity clause. And they're just guys waving paper around and running down the halls, bouncing into each other.
It reeks of confusion. It reeks of
hysterical
discombobulation, disorganization. All of the things which you can't do if you want to compete against 29 other teams who are doing their darndest to be the best. It's like even when they tried, the try wasn't a good try.
It's all a player wants. Just give me what I need.
And so to your point, what you just talked about, some of the scouting reports that you read about in this where the players are just told, yeah,
I've got it right here.
Oh, read that line.
I've got it right here. It starts out by saying that in 2024, the White Sox are still untangling the lines of data communication. And several former members of this year's team pointed to defensive positioning that said all of their defensive metrics are bad in part because former players say their fielders are often in the wrong spots.
And they quoted Tommy Pham, right?
Karate Man.
Yeah.
He said... It's a huge area where I felt I could be better. They know it. Former pitchers describe Chicago's game planning as almost rudimentary. Rather than provide individual plans for each hitter, the White Sox offer generalities, such as your sinker will play down in the zone.
And what about the offseason plan for the pitchers, though?
Oh, minor league pitchers with high walk totals were told things like, work on your command.
But not given a plan. You have to have... Oh, man. It's like going to a speech therapist and then tell you...
Talk better.
Talk without a stutter. I'm trying. I'm trying.
Yeah, no, that thing, don't do that anymore. Just knock it off.
Have you tried just not walking people? Have you tried that?
Oh, thank you.
So that's... And you know what? The way the article starts, it just reminds me, and most things remind me of, like, the fact that they haven't signed a $100 million player as a free agent, right? Mm-hmm. But what they're talking about, and I know it's kind of aesthetic, it sounds like the opposite of like the Mark Cuban attempt. Like Mark Cuban's going to make sure I've got the most state-of-the-art whatever and everything to attract whoever needs. That will never be in question. But when they talk about this plane, and how people leave the White Sox and they're like, oh, this is what the actual major leagues is supposed to feel like.
It's like the movie Major League when they don't, you know, the bathtub doesn't work and they don't have the whirlpool and they have to get an outboard Evinrude motor for their whirlpool. And weren't they flying like a DC-3 at one point? It's farce.
But unlike you, I can't laugh at it.
I can. If you can't laugh at this, I don't know. I've got too much scar tissue built up.
I could laugh if they had turned a corner and then you laugh. It's like anything, right? You let's say you fall and you embarrass yourself. You're not going to laugh in the moment because the moment's still happening. And then 2 weeks later, oh yeah, remember when I did that? Because now you're better and you're back on your feet and you're feeling good about life. Tell me when we're going to feel good about the White Sox, and then I can laugh with you.
With the next ownership. That's the honest, straightforward answer. That this whole thing, there's just so many layers of crud that have built up around this. It has to be smashed with a hammer. It has to be excised. It's whatever, you know, I was using the metaphor of the overgrown house on the hill before. Bulldozed. The whole thing's got to be bulldozed.
I like an implosion better, but if you want to bulldoze,
yeah,
it, that's
like
fine.
Did you ever cover an implosion for a news station?
No, no, I've
I covered one,
a ton of them.
You cover?
What'd you cover?
Oh, in Macomb, they they took
the windmill.
Down, no. That was different. That was that was at my high school.
Oh,
that was at my
high school. That's the other thing that fell down.
So at Western, the year after I graduated, they had shut down one of the dorms and they imploded it. It was really cool. I probably got the video somewhere.
Yeah, no, the science of it is fantastic, where they know where the load-bearing areas are and everything is designed in sequence. It's fascinating to know how to destroy something well. Yes. So get those experts here.
Yes, reading this story, which is probably a long time coming. They could have written it last year. They could have written it next year, probably. But to read it out in black and white online, just to remind you how dire the situation is. And this is in Chicago, the third largest market in the country, mm-hmm. home of more than 3 million people. And you can't get it together. And it just reminded me specifically the plane thing, but also everything that's said here. Any player reading this, by the way, you know that a lot of this information has already been spread word of mouth for years and years and years. It's just discouraging because it's like, how are you going to get players here besides growing them yourselves?
When you're flying a minor league plane and everybody knows it and people leave the organization, what do they say? Whether it's Jake Berger or anybody else we've seen it go somewhere else, like, oh, this is the major leagues. This is how we're treated. This is how comfortable we are. Something stood out to me here, too. This is a quick...
Several things stood out to me. Go ahead.
Well, you go ahead.
No, I'm saying we've been through most of them already.
This is a story I haven't told on the air before.
Okay.
I think I can tell it now because this is in here. There's this paragraph. The team didn't shun the analytics movement entirely. The White Sox were one of the first teams to invest in a spring training pitching lab. They purchased iPitch machines for approximately $15,000 each to help train hitters and hired the analytically savvy Ethan Katz as pitching coach in 2020. Now, when they purchased these iPitches, they thought, there were people in the organization that thought this was the coolest new hotness. Yeah, we got these iPitch machines. And one of the owners who I know called me and we're talking about it. I said, yeah, well, you got to know about these machines. Pitching machine. You got to know about these things. I'm like, yeah.
RBI machine.
And he starts, and I said, you realize that, and I knew this would bother him. I said, you realize that the Cubs have like 20 of these at every facility in their entire organization. And they've been using them for a while. They have it at their Academy of the Dominican Republic.
You told him this?
Yeah. Like the Cubs have these at rookie ball, at A ball, at double, at every level. They've got these and they have an integrated top-down system for everybody. The moment they put their name on a contract, they're already in this system. And he's like, oh, okay. But they couldn't have been, they thought it was so good. They thought they were so excited to get these machines. And I'm like, come on, man. Like,
it's so crazy because your example is another team in town. This is not like a team that you could say is like, oh, maybe they're just out on an island and they don't talk to other teams. Like it's not Oakland or something. Like this is you got another big league team here in the same city.
Mm-hmm. And that's just one example. I mean, think what the Dodgers are doing. Are you kidding me? If the Cubs have 10 of these, the Dodgers have 20 at every facility. And the fact that they're like, well, no, nothing will replace human judgment. It's if Jerry is the baseball equivalent of a medieval barber, where somebody comes in and their humors need to be balanced, and Jerry's applying leeches.
Stop.
And rather than it's like, well, you know, we could actually take a blood test and diagnose and give them like antibiotics or something. No, there should be no antibiotics. We believe in the position of the sun and the power of leeches. We will bleed you.
Because it's cheaper.
Right. And the medieval barber is much, much cheaper.
Theodoric, I mean, there's people like that in real life today that shun science and medicine for other ways. And
you know what they do? They die. Like the guy gets bit by the rattlesnake in church. No, God will heal him anytime now. Anytime. How are we doing? Well, he's dead.
It's not depressing, because depressing isn't the right word to describe it. It is sad.
I think it's hilarious. I think the White Sox.
I haven't crossed that bridge yet.
To try to get here, and to have all of the fiercely loyal people are like, well, he's never going to fire me. It's a job for life, so people aren't going to say anything bad about him, because everybody likes the fact that he's put so many kids through college.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's
big picture.
People love the guy. The guy's paid for lake houses and law school educations.
Money will buy you allegiance. That's something we've found out over the course of time.
Yes.
And security is a thing.
And it'll buy a lot of people who don't want to tell you that what you're doing is incredibly behind the times and backward.
But do you feel like no one tells him that? Do you feel like Kenny Williams never told him things needed to change? Because things have changed. They're just changing at a very slow pace.
Still got Tony La Russa there writing things on note cards. He literally does that. Tony La Russa's still there. He's still there. And he handwrites things on note cards and he hands them to Jerry. And Jerry reads them.
Maybe Jerry doesn't like checking his text.
He doesn't. I don't even know if he texts. I know he emails.
Same. Is it not the same thing in 2024?
I don't know. The fact that they got him to email, I think, was a big deal.
Huh?
You heard me. You heard it.
A text is easier than email. Like, no.
I agree.